is 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you are listening to the Ooze Illuminous Edition with your hosts Jason Sorrell and Rotten Biohazard. Rotten, what's going on tonight, man?
Not much, man. Just enjoying a cigarette, having a drink, and talking to you.
Right on, right on. I got a little bit confused about what our show topic was going to be, so I had a busy day and had to kind of scramble, and here I am looking up information for next week's show. Tonight we're going to be talking about environmentalism, the green movement, the whole recycling thing that's out there, and basically sharing your opinion or our opinions on that with you folks if you're listening, which I see there are already a few people in the chat room. Very cool. So if you want to call in as we get going, the number is 347-989-1371. Man, I thought I'd let you go ahead and kick this off.
And folks, just to let you know, next week will be globalization. By then, I'm sure Jason will have a 10-page report on the topic.
Right on, right on. I have all my homework done.
Yeah, I was thinking, man, okay, first off, we have recycling, which has been around for quite a while, but it's had, you know, quite the resurgence with the whole green movement taking effect. One of the things I find quite interesting is that if, let's just, they've actually done case studies on this topic to where they have a person who is, you know, deep into recycling, and they basically test them, see how far they will go. How far will they go with this whole OCD, you know, recycling thing? They take out 16, 20 bins, and they just give them all these strange and all these strange rules attached to each bin. For this has to go in this bin, this has to go in that bin, blah, 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 blah. And generally, people do it because they feel as if they are doing the right thing. They feel as if they are doing the right thing for the environment. When, in all due respect, it's actually more costly to recycle because you actually have to pay the truck drivers, you have to pay the people picking it up, then you have to pay the people at the sorting plants, you have to run those machines, and really it's actually cheaper just to make it again on most things. There are some things to where it is not cost effective. We'll get into that.
Right, and a lot of the materials that are being recycled, from what research I've done on this, is that there's such a backlog, such a huge amount of, let's say, recycled aluminum, and so little demand for the recycled aluminum, that it ends up just sitting in landfills anyways. So all that was accomplished was the extra man hours, the extra energy and everything else spent in storing these things in nice, neat little stacks in the same holes in the ground that we would put it anyways.
And also, man, I can actually tie a lot of this whole idea back, well, I can actually tie it in, sorry, with a topic we discussed before where it had to do education, to where you wanted it to be more community-driven. Well, you know, in some states, they have a certain commodity. Let's just say Vermont, for instance. They're big in maple syrup. They have all these plastic bottles of maple syrup people are buying and recycling. Wouldn't it be more cost-effective for these people to simply buy one jug and then go back to said facility and just get it refilled? Have the recycling be more community-driven to where it's community products being rebottled for the community themselves.
Absolutely, absolutely. Or, you know, I think about the propane gas tank exchange process.
Yes.
Where you have a propane tank that you take to a refill center, and you don't refill that tank. You just exchange it out for another tank,
yes.
And you continue to do that every time you need a tank. Right. So with anything like that, you know, milk, whatever it is, that if you're using it on a regular basis – where you just go and exchange your, and I think this is the way it used to be with glass bottles, with milk. You would just exchange the empty glass bottles of milk with, you know, full bottles. And then, of course,
yes, back in the
glass, 50s,
I think it was.
What's that?
Back in the 50s and 60s, wasn't it?
Right.
You would
right.
basically
was,
take your milk, put it on your front stoop, a man would come by and give you a new full bottle, basically.
And the soda manufacturers, as late as the 80s, were doing the same thing. It used to be that you'd go to any major grocery store, and there was a place to take your glass bottles. And these didn't go through the regular or the typical recycling process that we have today, where the material has to be scrubbed, broken down, made into basically an almost virgin format, and then reformed into something else. With a glass bottle for soda, well, then it's just a matter of cleaning the bottle and, you know, putting it back out there, refilling it with soda and putting it back out there. So, yeah, there's a different spin, I think, on the recycling, and I think it's kind of just like what you were saying, is that these people, it's a way to make people feel good about themselves, but it's also like the government's giving people busy work, that you know, this is what we want you to do. If you want to feel good about, you know, if you want to feel like you're participating and you're a good citizen, don't pay attention to all this other nonsense going on everywhere else. You recycle. That's what you do. And that's your way of contributing to the world. So you don't have to do anything else. You don't have to really look up and take a look around. All you got to do is recycle, and that gets you your good guy badge, and that's all you need to do. So
that's
actually what it is,
Matt. It is simply a good guy badge. You are exactly right. And also going back to another thing you basically said about glass bottles having to be virginized again, as it were, I think a lot of it also goes back to this mentality that we as people in society and of today actually have. We have this fear of germs. Germs. I don't think that you could actually take a glass bottle and not sterilize it the way we do today. I don't think you could. I don't think that the way that the media has portrayed germs, that we would actually be able to just simply reuse again. I don't think that the mindset would allow it.
Right, and well, that's exactly what you're saying, is that the fear of germs and everything else would prevent you from having that kind of recycling program. Where, I mean, and you think about these bottles that were being recycled, they were cleaned to the point where the paint that was put on the bottle to, you know, make it a Coke bottle or a Pepsi bottle or whatever, is actually scrubbed off, and each bottle had to be reprinted, basically. So, I mean, these things are thoroughly cleaned, but it's your fear of germs and everything else that drives people to, I mean, it makes people a little nuts as far as recycling is concerned. But I think it's funny, especially when you start talking about plastic bags or bags for your groceries, okay? Because the bag thing kind of blows my mind. Here in Austin, Texas, we're actually voting. We're working. We're a huge metropolitan city. I mean, something like, I don't know how many people. There's a ridiculous amount of people here. I want to say it gets into the millions, but I'm not sure, okay? Hundreds of thousands, at the very least. So we got all these people here and everything else, and you want to force every retailer in the city, every restaurant, every food chain, every gift shop, every grocery store to get rid of plastic bags and to go to cloth bags. And for the plastic bags, for the privilege of having a plastic bag, if you go ahead and use the plastic bags, there's going to be some sort of surcharge involved with plastic bags because there's so many of them. There are millions of them. Well, the reason there are millions of these damn plastic bags is because they're cheap to produce. They're cheap to transport, and they last forever, okay? But these bags
I don't know, dude. When the last time you brought home a plastic bag was and you ended up with a hole in it. Don't say they last. They don't, man. Come on now.
Okay, no. The bag, okay, you're right. The bag doesn't last forever, but the material the bag's made of does, okay? It takes a long time for that shit to break down, all right? Now, you know, my thinking is, you know, I've got plastic bags here. All right, you know, I'm waiting for the day when this shit happens, and it's coming here, you know, where I'm going to take my plastic bags in and just have to refill my plastic bags. But if you want to talk about germs, if you want to talk about, you know, filthy fucking, you know, bacteria traps, those cloth bags everybody wants to use, those bags that have all this, you know, all they're porous, they have, you're putting meat and everything else into these damn bags, and sure, you can throw them in the washing machine and wash the damn things, but that just causes the things to wear out. The bags are like, you know, $5 to $15 a piece or whatever. And I don't know if you've ever tried to carry groceries around in these goddamn things. I mean, they're not very big. You know, even the biggest ones
I've
seen.
They're not even that sturdy, man. They really are not. You may as well be carrying around a rucksack.
Right. So here you are, you know, you're lugging this bag around or whatever. You got to wash that goddamn thing. It's getting, you know, mad cow disease and whoever fucking knows what it is from the meat and everything else you're putting in it. And it's, you know, it's a total scam. And the fucked up thing in my mind is, you know, back in the 80s, and again, I'm a child of the 70s, so I saw all this shit go down. Back in the 80s, they said, you know what? We want to get rid of paper bags. We don't want to get rid of paper bags because we're killing the trees. We need to save the earth. So the paper bags, you know, let's go ahead and get rid of the brown paper bags. You know, a lot of those bags are being recycled. They're made from recycled materials. They're easier and cheaper to recycle and to produce the brown paper bags. But it was get rid of those because, you know what, we're going to move to plastic bags. Plastic bags is the way of the future. Plastic bags is the recycling godsend for the environment. You don't want paper bags. You want plastic. This whole big push by the environmental movement, when you're asked paper or plastic, say plastic. And now we are, now the plastic bags are bad. And what did we go from? We went from fucking paper, which is made from plant material, to these woven bags, which a lot of them are made from plant material, you know? And it would be, you know, I would get on the side. I would get behind the whole fucking cloth bag things if they said they were making them out of hemp. If, you know, and I know
you
can get hemp bags.
I agree. But I would get more behind it if they said it was free. If they were going to deliver 2 bags to each household a week. At the end of the week, they'd pick up those bags and clean them themselves. The consumer didn't have to do jack shit. That I would be behind.
Oh, yeah, or the bags are, it's untreated hemp. So you get this brand new fucking hemp bag. You made it, there's somebody produced these goddamn bags, so it's a job someplace, probably in another country or whatever. You get the bag, you take it home, you empty the goddamn things out, and you burn them, you know? And it's, you know, if you got a fireplace like I do, you throw those fucking things on the fire and use them for kindling, you know? And it's hemp, you know? Whatever it is. But there are these, you know, they're nylon. That's fucked up in my mind. So you're getting rid of plastic bags and going to a nylon bag. What the fuck is a nylon bag? It's plastic. You know? Yeah, these synthetic fibers and everything else. And it's just like you're saying, these bags fall the fuck apart, right? You know, to lug around, you know, $10-$15 worth of canned goods in these bags, even from the grocery store in your car back and forth. Yeah, do that for a few weeks in a row and see how long those fucking handles hold up, those little straps and shit. It just doesn't happen.
Dude, not even that, man. Dude, just going into a store, picking up the bare essentials, you figure for bare essentials you're going to need bread, milk, eggs, a few other non-perishables. Let's just be honest. For one day, you're going to need that for the most part, okay? Try to get that stuff home and not have either your bread completely mangled and squished and either eggs broken. I don't think you can do it. I don't think anyone can, really.
Right, yeah, because they don't hold their shape. There was one grocery store chain that actually had what I thought was a cool idea. They didn't have bags. So you didn't have paper bags. You didn't have plastic bags. You didn't have bags at all. What they did was they took the boxes that the food was delivered to them in, okay, so the cases from the macaroni and cheese or whatever, and they put the boxes in bins right at the front of the store, right at the end of the checkouts. So when you wanted to check out, you grabbed your groceries and everything else, you grab the box from this bin, and you load your groceries up into a box.
Yeah, that's what
sturdy,
I think is Aldi
stable.
Does, actually.
Okay, yeah, Aldi's, right. So it that makes sense to me. That makes sense. But the recycling movement, especially, I mean, there's the people who started, like, the green movement and everything else, they're not even paying – they're not even they've disavowed it in a lot of ways. The green movement has become one of these additional, you know, feel-good organizations that's about perpetuating their own thing, about, you know, we got to do things for the environment, we got to do whatever, without having any real substance behind what it is they're talking about. The people that founded the Green Movement actually, you know, they believed in, you know, sensible use of the environment, managed use of the environment, whereas these environmentalists now are totally opposed to any kind of development, any kind of, you know, procedure or management or anything like that. As a matter of fact, you hear some of these nutjobs talk, they'd like to see the cities retaken by the forests and everything else. They'd like to see, you know, all this shit go away.
Dude, they have basically become nothing more than a glorified cult. That's all they are, man. They have become nothing more than, like, Greenpeace, for instance. They've become more radical, I guess you could say. Let's take it from our spin. The animal rights people, they're a big thing, you know? PETA. They've come nothing more than just a glorified PETA with less funding.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. And when you talk about, like, people like Al Gore, and you talk about, you know, the data he's come up with, never mind the overdramatic, you know, shots of glaciers falling apart. Never mind the retooled fucking map and everything else. And never mind that his own house had a bigger fucking carbon footprint than, like, any other building in his own state or whatever. Never mind all that shit. When you get down to the global warming thing, when you get down to that and you go to the research center where it all started, the epicenter of the whole global warming movement, and you find out that they cooked their books. that they create, that they kind of created this research, created the data, and said, you know, and they, it was, you know, emails going on between these different scientists in this facility saying, hey, we want this thing to have a man-made spin. So we want to make, you make sure that your data, your research shows that global warming is man-made, not a natural cycle of the Earth and the sun, not a natural byproduct of the biosphere of our world, none of that shit. You want to make sure that our, because our funding coming from certain, you know, organizations demands that it has a human cause so that they can complain about the human problem.
See, you know, the beautiful one, I remember back when I was a kid in the third grade, our big thing was save the rainforest. We used to bring in money, save the rainforest. Now, part of me agrees with that. Part of me does. Due to the simple fact that, yes, that is probably an ecosystem we need to keep. Cutting down those trees could seriously affect people's oxygen, could do some damage. I admit this. Also the medicines as well. But you know something, man? If I want a goddamn paper bag, I want it to come from a tree. I'm sorry. If I want to use paper, it has to come from a tree. I'm old enough to remember how to still write a letter. I like paper. I don't like as much digital things as maybe some of my counterparts do. I still like the feel of paper.
There's a countdown meter at the Fort Wayne Children's Zoo in Fort Wayne, Indiana. This meter supposedly displays in inches and square feet how quickly the rainforest is being chewed up by development and everything else, mankind's use of the rainforest and everything else, how quickly this thing's getting dying away, okay? They put this clock in when I was a kid. So let's say at best when I was 12 years old. Yeah, I'm going to be 40 years old this year. So this clock has been going for 28 years, all right? And when I went there, it seemed like a few years ago, to check, you know, to, just not to check on the clock, but we ended up walking through and saw this fucking clock. You know, the numbers look the same to me. Now, I don't remember what the number was when I was a fucking kid or whatever, but it seems to me it's like there's no data here to support this spinning number thing, this rapidly declining number. And I'm thinking, you know, it's been 20-plus years. How is there any fucking rainforest left? It's got to be because there's some fucking management going on. It's got to be because some of the shit, some of the development has been halted. And then, you know, you're talking about exactly what you're saying. You know, when you're going to find there's medicines and everything else you can find in the rainforest, that's all fine and good. How the fuck do you get to it? You know how you get to it? You cut down a few fucking trees. That's how you get to it. You got to go in there and look for this shit. And you're talking about as quickly as the rainforest is being depleted, you've got other places in the world that are growing trees, that they're, you know, they're reproducing and repopulating the forest. Fucking Germany after World War II looked like the lunar landscape. It had been bombed so badly. You go there now, and there's huge trees all over the mountains and hills. There's fucking trees everywhere. I've stood outside in the middle of winter outside a friend's house and just smelled the pine rolling off the mountains and everything else, knowing that, and when going out walking in the woods, every once in a while you'd walk and you step into this hole, a great big fucking crater from a bomb. All right, so you know, this has been a place that's been bombed out, and now it's covered with trees again. So it is. It's feel good bullshit about, you know, how badly we need to start. How much they want to yank our chain to get us again to give a shit about something going on in the Amazon or something going on in fucking Africa. You know, the people in the fucking Amazon basin. I did read a story recently about some dude who was told that the place he lives, you know, the little village he lives in, whatever, they're building a dam, okay, because the larger portion of the population needs power. Well, you know, the larger, they weren't building this dam to create a lake, so they had a resort, although that will occur as well, you know, and then all these fucking, you know, these natives or whatever, they all have this, they live in this area, if they play their cards right and everything else, they become very wealthy very quickly. No, this guy's on the fucking TV crying about how, you know, they're building this dam. Well, motherfucker, what about the rest of the fucking world around you? What about the rest of the country around you, the people around you and everything else that need this power and everything? And we're talking about, what, moving you and your mud hut someplace else. You can't tell me you can't build a fucking mud hut someplace else? It's bullshit. It's almost like...
But, dude, man, that... That tree just 100 meters away that I pissed on as a kid will no longer be my pissing tree. I can't have this. No. Oh, sorry, man.
Well, it's like, you know what, as far as all that's concerned, I think it's important to maintain indigenous cultures. I think it's important to, catalog and have the history and have those people and make sure that their culture's strong and vibrant and everything else. But especially when you've got a group of people who talk about how nobody owns the land. The land is for everybody. The land is free. The land, you know, nobody owns the land. Well, you know what, then you can move your ass because you don't own this fucking piece of ground either. And if the majority of the people in your fucking area who support you, who protect you with their military or whatever, say, hey, we need this fucking land, you need to, you know, pick up and move. And what's going on with this dude, I mean, sure, it's a sad story, pulls on the heartstrings and everything else, but at the end of the day, they're going to build a dam. They're going to fill that fucking hole that he lives in with water. He's not going to be able to live there anyway. He can stay if he wants to, but he better get some fucking gills. Because otherwise, you know, he's going to have to swim to the shore and pick up from there. So it the whole fucking thing, the whole environmental movement, the whole green movement, it doesn't make any sense. And it was a sensible idea. That's the thing that that really bothers me about the whole thing. It was originally a sensible idea because you're talking about not conservation in a rational manner. You're talking about the rational management of our natural resources, the preservation of green areas, the idea that there has to be a certain amount of forest and everything else maintained in order for the planet to be sustainable, in order to produce the oxygen we need to, you know, to keep cruising along and everything, right? But when you're talking about the human population being, you know, we're approaching 7 billion people, and from what I understand, all fucking 7 billion people on this planet, if we wanted to, with proper management, could be housed in the state of Arizona. Okay? You could get everybody to live out the whole fucking globe, you could get them to live in the state of Arizona. And I might be skewing my statistics or whatever. That was just something maybe I heard. You can call me on that if it's bullshit. That's fine. But what basically the point is, we are spread out. We still have not. We're not in the rat box that a lot of people would like you to believe we are. We're not even close to approaching overpopulation. Because if we were, even close, well, then these fuckers would be more in a hurry to get some shit going on the moon or Mars or something that, you know, again, an idea that makes sense. We'd be more pressured to do something about it. Now it's just, you know, again, it's look over here at what's going on in the Amazon. Don't look what's going on with healthcare. Don't look at what's going on with the economy. Don't look at all that shit. The shit that's important to you, if you want to feel good about something like you're making a fucking, like you're making a difference, you go, I'm helping those poor bastards in the rainforest because I've got fucking 5 big old plastic recycling bins, and I, you know, every week I put them out here and I've got them filled up with all kinds of bullshit that I've cleaned and, you know, sorted, and now some schlub in a fucking truck, he's going to have to dump not one, not two, but 5 fucking bins and into each separate containers and different trucks and everything else. And this is going to go on and maybe down the road to a hole in the ground that I never have to see because I don't even deal with those people. The people that come to get my garbage, I don't know who the fuck they are. And I don't want to ever have to deal with them, but I'm sure they smell bad or whatever. And there they go. And I did my part. So that guy in the fucking in the Amazon who was crying about his village being flooded out, he can let him know that I did my part. That's not my fucking fault. That's what's going on.
Yo, man, I actually have to disagree with you on a certain bit of what you said about this overpopulation. Part of me wants to argue this topic, but only on a particular point. Even though we have evolved into what we are now, we're nothing more than hairless apes, we still flock to fire. We just call it lights these days. The reason for this huge, huge population increase around cities is because of the fancy and pretty lights. We still crave that light source. We still crave this communal living within cities. Really more than glorified cavemen with less hair. So in a sense, yes, there is overpopulation, but only in the cities themselves.
Well, right. That's what happens. We are encouraged to gather in one location, whether, you know, it's that communal instinct, the urge to be around the pretty lights or whatever, or it's where the jobs are at or what have you. Versus being spread out over the place and being independent, being self-sufficient. That's probably a topic for another show. So it feels like we're overpopulated because we moved to an area and we so densely populated an area then yeah, it seems hard to fucking deal with the resource and everything else. You got places like Cleveland, Ohio, where people are shitting one on top of the other, you know. You're at the bank of the river and you're taking a shit, and there's a guy right up the hill taking a shit right ahead, right above you and everything. That's Cleveland got all fucked up from all the industrial waste and everything else. And the fucking funny thing is, though, they do all this damage. And that's the thing that kind of other thing blows my mind about the environmental movement. You talk about the amount of damage that people at places like Cleveland, with all the industrial waste being pumped into the water, and fucking San Francisco or Los Angeles, there's all the smog in the air and everything, right? And this is just never going to go away, and it's only going to get worse. And when the people said, you know what, we're going to do something about it. You know, we're going to bring some guys in here that actually make sense. You know, they're not telling everybody not to dump shit into the fucking water. They're not telling all these places that they can't have, you know, some pollutants going into the atmosphere or whatever. It's just that we need to dial it back. We need to find a smarter way to deal with shit. And what happens? Cleveland cleaned up its water. Fucking Los Angeles cleaned up its air. The people that, you know, when you talk about sensible management of resources and sensible management of pollutants, you know, we can make some shit happen. So that's why I say, you know, when you're talking about, you know, these big problems that they point to, you know, dealing with the rainforest can be sensibly managed. You know, we can find a way to, you know, make the rainforest, you know, keep it alive, keep it vibrant, but also make sure there's it's easy to get through. Make sure there's roads and shit going through it so that you can tour it, you can check things out and everything else. But it doesn't go away. It's, you know, it's still, I mean, fuck, man, we got these redwood cedar forests here in the United States. Okay?
Yeah.
Massive trees and everything else, right?
We've done tunnels through them, man.
Right. We're not cutting them down. We're managing them. We're taking care of them. You know, we have within us the capability of being good stewards, but it's not being retarded like these fucking green environmentalist fucks want us to be. You know, it's like, hey, we're going to keep this shit around because people are paying us money to help take care of it. You know, so it's got its own little revenue stream going on. And when this shit doesn't fucking produce the money to take care of it, when people don't give a fuck anymore, well, then we have to reevaluate how necessary it is to take care of this thing. Part of me is like, you know what, human beings first, okay? No matter what, you know, the earth is very resilient. It has a way of adapting to whatever bullshit happens to it. So, you know, if human beings, you know, let's take care of human beings first. Let's deal with, I mean, I saw another statistic dealing with the homeless situation. Where, like, one homeless person, there are 24 empty houses for every one homeless person in the United States. Okay?
This actually brings another topic for another show, actually. But basically, the show would be of the homeless, actually. And the whole movement to where we're more than willing to feed other countries, rebuild other countries after we bomb them, or after we simply cut resources to them. But we still have kids in this country starving to death and people without anything. That's not our show topic altogether, man.
Right. But my point here is when you're talking about the managing resources, let's say recycling, okay? When you got fucking 24 abandoned houses and all the materials that went into making those houses and all the fucking effort that goes into maintaining those buildings, you know, let's just let them fucking fall apart, let's let them disintegrate, you know, all the effort that goes into all that. And it's like they're people that need them, you know? This is where, when we get into the globalization topic next week, this is where, you know what, the whole one world government thing, in my mind, doesn't sound like such a bad idea. Okay?
You agree,
like,
don't you?
I'd actually agree,
and actually plan for how it would actually be set up, to be honest with you.
Right. Well, it would just be, you know, proper management of what it is we have. But instead, we got these feel-good fucking things. We're going to have, you know, we're going to get rid of all the plastic bags in Austin, Texas, and we're going to make everybody use fucking the cloth bag. Never mind what a business wants to do. Never mind what the business says. You know what's good for our bottom line? Plastic fucking bags. This is good for our fucking bottom line. You know, it blows my mind. You take these fucking plastic bags and make insulation out of them. You know, you don't have to even do anything to them. You take the goddamn plastic bag and make sure it's fucking clean or whatever, and you stuff it between the walls of these fucking buildings you're building, and you got insulation. You know, there's not a goddamn thing else you got to do with it. It just makes sense to me. I mean, if a hobo on the street can take plastic bags and stuff his fucking jacket with it and stay warm, go shit. Do it. Use it for fucking housing. It's cheap. Make do something with it. And that's, I mean, that's where recycling for me really hits home. It's like, you know what, the bullshit with the bins, the bullshit with, you know, all the little, you know, separating the bottles and the cans and everything else, it's totally fucking worthless. Penn and Teller, that bullshit, their show, bullshit. They pointed this out. They showed how all this shit was being taken to, you know, a recycling center, pretty much all dumped in one pile. That the only
And they're the ones who also went ahead and proved the whole, you know, social theory of taking 20 fucking bins to someone, labeling them, this has to be in this, this has to be in this, and people will do it. No matter anal you get about it, they will do it. It's almost hardwired into the brain to do this.
When you're conditioned to, an authority figure comes in and says, this is the way it has to be done, you're conditioned to obey because he's got a badge, he's wearing a suit or whatever, then you do it. But it's exactly what, you know, they're showing you all the shit basically goes into one pile anyways. Whereas if you could find a way to reuse the things yourself, you know, and even that's going to have a limit. There's only so many fucking jars, glass jars full of little knickknacks and bullshit that you have laying around your house. There's only so much you can do. But you know, that's a bigger step in, you know, finding a way to reuse what it is you have. I've been looking at a lot of lost or found art is what they call it, where these guys are taking, found objects off the street, off the ground or whatever, and they're taking it, incorporating it into artwork, making crazy sculptures out of old car parts that are, you know, rusting away in fucking junkyards and everything else. They're making these huge, amazing, you know, sculptures and everything. And that's all fine and good until you've got, you know, cities full of these fucking rusted out metal elks and shit all over the place. But at least it's something.
Well, shit, man. I remember back 10 years ago when I was living in Florida. We had this one, it was not far from where I was going to middle school, high school at the time, actually. They had this one park, about maybe a few blocks from it. You know how generally you have a park, it's generally the bedding on the ground is mulch. This park had sneakers. It was the sole of the sneaker ground down, and that's what they made the whole floor of this park out of. That to me is recycling. You know, that is a great way of doing it, you know?
Right on. And that's the kind of thing that makes sense. When you as a household, when you as a city, when you as a county or state, look at what you've got going on. I mean, yeah, step out to these landfills. I mean, especially when you got all these, they're guys who are way smarter than you and I, okay, who, I'm back in the 80s again. I mean, I saw a dude who was taking soda cans, basically tin, and he was running the tin through some sort of press, or not, you know, aluminum. He's running the aluminum through some sort of press, and, you know, pressing the aluminum, basically just bonding the aluminum together using pressure. And then after he had enough sheets of this shit, he turned it into walls. He built himself a little fucking this shelter out of these, you know, this pressed and cut aluminum, and it was literally, you could see the different soda can logos. He did nothing to fucking, you know, disguise what this shit was, and he built himself, you know, a cheap structure out of, you know, used soda cans. You know, it's impossible.
That's cool.
You know, you got all these people who are, they're clever. They find ways to do things, but like you said, tell somebody they're going to live in a shelter that's made out of fucking used soda cans. You know, or, you know, tell one of these people with eight bins out in front of their fucking, you know, house with all the recycling shit that, hey, we're going to go ahead and have you start wearing clothes. We're not producing new clothes anymore. We've got enough clothes in the world to clothe everybody. From now on, you're going to get used clothes. Goodwill's going to be the only place to get clothes from. Oh, fuck no, they'll go out of their minds.
Sure will. Every time.
So
the only thing that is, though,
what's that?
Why do you think that is?
Because while there's, it goes back to, why do these people recycle? Why do they have eight bins? I imagine the person that can afford to have eight bins out in front of their house, first of all, okay? They have to go out, they pay for these bins, okay? They've got a little bit of money. It's a symbol of status. where they sit there and their neighbors look down the road, and they're part of this neighborhood association, so they all have to have their bins and everything else. And, oh, Buffett, we can afford to live there. We can afford to get the 5 bins or 8 bins, and we can afford to pay, you know, some immigrant, some, you know, some person in here that can come in and sort our shit for us. So we can do that. We can afford all of that, Buffett. So let's go ahead and live there. So, you know, all of these neighbors can look at each other and go, yep, you're good. You're part of the solution. You feel good about what you're doing, and I feel good about what I'm doing. But you know what? I also got this, you know, wonderful, super nice. I never have my car is never more than 2 years old. You know, I'm wearing always the latest styles. I don't want to get too far into this, but I have a friend who has a wife who is a teacher up north, and she has closets full of clothes. Okay, and she's all about the recycling trip. She's all about, you know, reusing and everything else and doing all this shit. She has closets full of clothes every year.
Yeah, she wouldn't take them down to Goodwill or do anything else with them. They just sit there and basically create dust or collect dust. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. She doesn't wear anything old, man. And what's going on is every year that comes along, she has to go out and buy a whole new wardrobe because if she's not wearing. If she's not wearing new clothes, when she shows up to school, she teaches fucking high school, man. She teaches high school. These kids don't give a shit what the teacher's wearing. As long as it's clean, as long as it's not threadbare, it's fucking clothes, you know. Nobody's expecting a teacher to be fashionable, except for the other female teachers working in that school with her. If she doesn't fucking have the newest clothes, if she doesn't have new clothes every year, the other teachers will look at her, the other female teachers will go, oh, I guess the teacher's salary's not doing you very well, huh? Did your husband lose his job? Oh, that's terrible, you know? And it's, you know, feeling one up on her. So, again, it's about status. So that's why you won't hear about, you know, these people going, you know, oh, you know, I recycle, I do all this other shit. Hey, do you go buy used clothes from Goodwill? Well, no. I'll take shit to Goodwill every once in a while, but I'm not going there to buy clothes. I'm not shopping at Goodwill. Recycling on an actual level where I actually am participant in it? No, not having that at all.
You know, let's diverge into our topic. These whole green products, this movement from these green motherfuckers, these over products are shit, dude. They're out of my price range. Let's be honest. I feel that they're probably out of most people's price ranges. The easiest alternatives. They're cheap, and you can always get more of lemons and cider, or vinegar. You can use those two things to clean every surface in your house. But no, we are not allowed as people, as free people, to clean in the manner that we would like. We are not allowed to use steam. We are not allowed to use things that are in our own home. No, we must go to the supermarket and buy these chemicals. They're apparently green and good for us and the environment to clean our homes. That is a load of bullshit.
Well, I don't think there's anybody stopping you from using fucking lemons and vinegar or whatever to clean your home. I do get your point, but there's pressure to make sure that you're buying the right cleaning product. There's pressure to make sure that you're buying the green goodness, whatever it is. You know, oh, this is green. This is good for the environment. This cleaning product is green. It's nice and safe. It's all natural. My question when I see those bottles, when I see this shit, is how do we know? Other than it says green on the label, other than it says recycled, made out of 80% recycled materials, or made out of all natural products that have been put through an unnatural process. Because, you know, when I hear the word natural, I think every fucking thing. Anything that's produced, you know, in nature, I mean, there's nothing that's not produced in nature. Anything that man makes is, man is a product of nature. Therefore, anything man makes is a product of nature. Okay, so there's no distinction between, you know, some, you know, really good, effective chemicals and maybe some much less effective product directly from some tree sap somewhere. There's no regulation. You know, if I wanted to, I could sit there and say, my tattoos, they're green tattoos. I use all natural products in my tattooing. And based on my philosophy, what I just said, I'm telling the absolute truth because I believe there isn't a product everywhere that doesn't come from nature. but there's no regulation for it. You know, there's no federal department of, you know, green products. There's no federal
department. It's a money racket, man.
Right, right. How much of something has to be recycled in order for the product to be considered a recycled product? You know? I mean, you could sit there, these plastic bags are being made. Okay, you could sit there at the end of the fucking line where the plastic bags are being made. They're rolling down the conveyor and everything else. Here comes the plastic bag. You take one of these plastic bags from the very end of the line. You walk it all the way to the fucking vat where the plastic is being melted, and you drop the shit, drop the bag in. Boom. You just recycle one bag. You're good.
That's,
you know,
that,
all these
that,
bags
that's,
are recycled because there it was. I mean, there's no regulation
right on,
for it.
That,
you know.
Yeah.
What's that?
Right on, man. That is absolutely hilarious. Basically creating a self-feeding system, feeding the system its own bullshit.
Right, and then the thing that you're talking about, the price. Well, since
yes.
it's a green product, there's a higher demand for it. We can charge, if we take our bottle of water, right, and we put it, the plastic bottles of water, all right?
Oh, you remember the whole movement, too, to where they had found that some sort of chemicals being released from these bottles being reused, and they basically said that they can no longer use these plastic bottles because it's basically toxic to the people. Dude, that was a complete mindfuck. Absolutely arbitrary and made no sense.
Well, I thought was what blew my mind. Is Aquafina and whatever the other bottled water thing. The bottles that they sell people with those water, with water, it used to be that you got a hold of this bottle, you could refill that thing. Okay? That bottle will go through the dishwasher. That bottle, it was a tough plastic bottle. Okay? It takes some abuse. Now, you pick up a bottle of plastic water, the bottle crumples in your hand. Right. And it's so that you can't refill the fucking bottle. And here you go, it says, made completely out of recyclable materials. How about you let me recycle the bottle? How about you give me a fucking bottle that I can reuse? No, because then you won't buy the water. Well, why the fuck am I buying water anyways? Doesn't it fall from the sky? Isn't the shit free? What's going on? It is. It's a fucking, as a culture, I think we've lost our minds. And this whole recycling thing is just a symptom of our combined neurosis.
Correct. But see, there's only one actually form of recycling that actually does work and actually makes a lot of sense, and that's to do a lot of the computer products we use. A lot of these microchips and a lot of these just computer components that we have in our everyday household items for the most part. They all have precious metals in them, whether it be gold, silver, platinum. It is actually more cost-effective to recycle your appliances than anything else, especially your computers. Computers are actually taken to Silicon Valley, which is, of course, the mecca for computers, let's be honest. And what they do is they actually take in all these little bits of hardware in your computer that actually remelt down. And they melt it down so they have different levels of it, and they grab these levels, and there's your precious metals. And they recycle those into another computer part. They're basically reusing them because basically it is more cost-effective to do that than hire a miner to go however many feet down to the ground to collect more.
Right, and a lot of the materials that get used are so limited that it's better to try to recycle them. So absolutely, that makes sense. I want to say lithium is one of the products that, you know, there's a very small amount of it relatively on the earth. That we're aware of, and we use it in everything, all these batteries and everything else. All these fucking electric cars that they're trying to charge and everything else, I think are using, like, lithium batteries for the most part. So, yeah, we got a caller on the air. Let me go ahead and bring the caller on. All right. 303 area code, you're on the use. It's on your brain.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
I was just listening to the show, and if this is, like, the wrong show for this, just let me know. But I've listened to you guys for a while, and I guess I would be more curious to, like, know on the show, or if you guys talked at all about, like, your particular belief structure and stuff.
Yes, we did.
Our belief structure?
Yeah, like, aren't isn't like the ooze, isn't it like some sort of Church of Satan or satanic group or something?
Dude, it did at one time have that slant to it, but it has actually diversified out beyond that. It's not so much the satanic climate as it was. I don't really want to say we've tried to get away from that as much. I'd like to say more of the fact that, yeah, we've diversified. We've brought in topics that weren't just that. We're trying to reach a larger audience. I mean, dude, let's be honest.
Yeah, no, and I really like that, you know. And it seems like, I guess when I first started listening to your show, I had no idea, like, what it was. And you guys started talking politics a lot, you know. And you know, I'm a anarchist and you know, kind of came from the libertarian philosophy, and I was kind of shocked to see somebody else there felt the same way about a lot of issues as I do. And then I went to your page, and I'm like, wait, these guys are like Satanists. And then like dug a little bit, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty interesting. And then a million questions popped up, you know. But then you guys
here's a kicker for you, man. Yes, most of us are Satanists. Yes, most of us do follow that kind of slant in our philosophy. But guess what? We are still very educated and extremely opinionated, even more so than regular people.
Sure. Yeah. No. I mean, I just had more questions. I mean, like, is it okay if I just ask a quick question?
Jason, what do you think, Ben?
I guess, if we're off the topic of the environment, what's your quick question?
Yeah, so, like, do Satanists actually, like, believe in, like, deity of Satan, or is it more, like, an occult thing and like, not really related to Christianity?
Let's give him the short answer on that, because that is really way off the topic. Satanists believe whatever Satanists believe. Some of them believe in Satan, some of them don't believe in Satan, and every individual Satanist you speak to is going to have a different answer for that. My recommendation would be do a little bit of reading. Wikipedia could probably give you a far better answer than you're going to get from any individual Satanist, because you're going to be getting only their particular belief system, only what their viewpoint is, and that's what Satanism is about, is that individual viewpoint. So you're never going to get the right answer from any particular Satanist.
Gotcha. Okay. I guess that sort of answered my question. But yeah, like from what the research I did do, I guess a lot of like what Anton LaVey and like other people have sort of followed in that school. Like it seems like a lot of anarchist principles are fairly agreeable within that community.
Honestly, I developed my satanic philosophy by watching Mr. Rogers on PBS. it's a matter of just trying to. If you're somebody interested in that, a lot of it. I mean, just you're going to do a little bit of research. You're going to have to talk to a lot of different Satanists, and then you are going to form your own opinion as to what you think Satanists believe or don't believe. And you'll be in some ways you'll be close to right, and in a lot of ways you'll be close to wrong. And it's just going to be your
individual personal, man. It all comes from yourself, man. It doesn't matter what I say or he says. It has to come from you. No two people are the same in nature and in Satanism. You're going to form your own opinions. Whether or not they meet with someone else's, who the fuck knows, who the fuck cares? As long as you're okay with yourself, at the end of the day, it's all that matters.
Yeah, I mean, find, like, the whole, like, I don't know, people wrestling with like irrational ideas and like lacking reason, like you sort of see with organized, you know, other organized religions.
I'm sorry, I didn't follow that question. What was that?
Like, I mean, when I look at most organized religions, I mean, really, it's just a lifelong struggle against reason and logic. Like, do you find that to also be the case, like in your community or?
Not at all. It makes it more logical because we don't have that whole structure of saying that this is what we have to believe and this is how we have to act. It's much more liberating to, in my opinion, be what we are. To even be an occultist of any color or orientation, you are more liberated because you don't have anyone telling you what to believe. You simply make that up.
Stringent structures like you have to believe this or you're out.
Yeah, correct.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, so then it doesn't force somebody into rational thought as much, you know, like, oh, I have to be rational if I want to continue to be part of this community.
You know, in any discussion of religion, when you're talking about religious beliefs, when you're talking about religious viewpoints, you make a mistake if you try to, with a blanket color, assume that the opinions and beliefs that you've read on, you know, anywhere about any religion are the opinions and beliefs of every person in that religion.
Yeah.
Christianity, you know, Catholicism, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of Catholics who are very logical in the way they see things, who have a very, you know, very structured way of living, and they're very religious in their efforts and theirs. I had a professor, he's the head of the art department at IPFW in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he was, you know, very Catholic, and he challenged me very much on my ideas. I was an outspoken young man and very clear on what it was I believed, and he presented very sound, very logical arguments for his religious structure. And not all of it had to do with the fairy tales and the Bible and everything else, but it went to the core of the meaning of the religion.
Those people out there that, like, take the religion literally, I mean, how do you wrestle with, and Christians have a lot to wrestle with. Like, for instance, you know, they worship a god who drowned most of the planet's population, including, like, women and children and unborn babies. And at the same time, they talk about, you know, how they're all about, like, the right to life, you know?
Then he sent his own begotten son to die for our sins, who could walk on water but could not hold a single penny in his hand without falling through afterwards, you know?
And I think there's honestly a very small percentage in any religious movement, any religious organization that actually takes the religion literally. And, you know, if you flip that coin around, how many scientists can't sit there and say that they actually believe in their science literally, totally, without question? Because science is so full of holes. Science is so many different things going on. I mean, take gravity, for instance. You know, gravity, based on physics, it should be more powerful the closer to the mass you get. The larger the object is, and the smaller the object is trying to resist the gravity, the more difficult it should be for that object to resist that gravity within that body's gravity. Well, that's physics. That's science, right? Where you're at right now, stand up and jump. If you can stand up and jump, you just resisted the huge mass gravity that's supposed to be pulling you down this planet, preventing you from doing so. How does that happen? Scientists can't explain that shit. So, you know, a physicist, though, that
actually does this kind of work is going to understand that kind of thing and understand these are the missing data points versus, like, a layman is going to have full faith in it and not see the weak points.
The reason I brought up that point is I just read an article by a bunch of major physicists who were talking about problems with their theories that physicists can't explain, that physicists don't have an answer for. Gravity, the problem I just illustrated, was one of those problems. So, no, don't assume just because they're physicists that they've got the answers and that the answers make sense.
Well, no, but they're admitting that they don't have the answer, and they're still looking for the answer, whereas, like, religion is sort of like, oh, let's just give up on looking for the answer. We'll just, like, make some shit up, you know, and
that's
even
a very
if it doesn't make
viewpoint.
Any sense, we'll just, like,
that's,
keep, we'll just keep pointing that, so it stops any, like, it stops you looking for the answer, you know?
That's a very narrow viewpoint of religion, but if that's your religious belief, well, then I can't do anything about that.
You know, buddy, let me ask this, man. Who is the most quoted prophet in the Quran?
I have no idea.
Christ. Christ was the most quoted prophet above Muhammad, above everyone else. Christ is the most quoted prophet in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that when you go to sleep tonight.
What'd you say?
But yeah, and he said think about that when you go to sleep tonight, I guess.
Doesn't really. I mean, like, that's another contradiction, though. It's like the Christians hate the Muslims, and yet the Muslims, like, still pay homage to their prophet. And then you've got Muslims out there, like, talking shit about Jesus Christ when, like, in reality, like, that's one of their prophets, too. You know, I mean, the whole desert death cult thing, like, is pretty ridiculous. Like, these three groups at each other's throats throughout history, you know, when they're... They're all kind of the seed of the same stuff, yeah.
You know, man, I'm even willing to say this. How about Jason? Would you be against this man having this guy on the air one of these nights and talking and doing like this for a full hour or even 2 hours?
Do you want to be abused for an hour, man, where we go on and and pick at you about and you know, frankly, because when you talk about absolutes, when you make these blanket statements about religion, you're expressing a religious ideal. You're expressing a belief, and that you know, when that, even if that belief is challenged, you fell back
on
the belief itself.
It's different, though, because I'm not expressing a belief. I'm expressing an observation. Like, I mean, you can see it everywhere in the political realm.
Okay.
You can see that.
Here comes the issue with your belief, though. All you're doing is taking what this religion says is their core beliefs. You're basically just going polar opposite. You're basically saying that these people are wrong. Well, guess what, buddy? There is not a single thought that you have that hasn't already been thought of before. Nothing's original anymore, man. What does it matter?
I'm sure that's true, but you know, at the same time, like, it's still fun to talk about it and look at it. And I mean, you have to wonder why, like, some people, if you attack their belief structure, you know, or not even attack it, you just challenge it, they get extremely uncomfortable and they don't like that at all. And that's because they're standing on a flimsy house of cards, you know. And others, I don't care if you challenge my belief structure. I don't really care, you know. Because,
man, I don't even know you, dude.
I don't know the truth.
I don't even know. Okay, I don't even know you. Okay, I don't know you from anyone else on the air. Anyone else? Okay. The reason why people get so defensive over their belief structures is because people are unable, even unwilling, to basically take themselves and separate themselves from their belief structure. They become what they believe. That's the issue.
Is that healthy, though?
How so? How isn't healthy?
No, I said, is that healthy, you know?
Well, to separate yourself or to not separate yourself?
Yeah, to become one with the belief structure that's like was already there before you even came into existence. So you're binding yourself to something that you didn't even create, you know?
Yeah, I think you need to separate yourself, but that's just me.
Real quick, we only got about 2.5 minutes here. So it seemed like, and we did kind of get derailed, it seemed like you were starting with, you know, you've been listening to the show, and you find some of our ideas interesting, you consider yourself an anarchist, you find yourself in alignment with a lot of our political expression, our observations, and you're surprised that we have, as a whole, or the individual participants in the show, many of us embrace this idea, this philosophy, Satanism, and you wanted to know about those beliefs and what have you. A belief structure of any kind does not necessarily prevent a person from being a free thinker, from having an open mind. Belief structure, if it serves the person, should provide a foundation and a parameter, a touchstone from which to go exploring. And if you do truly have an open mind, that foundation will change as you make your discoveries. That it will evolve. So there's a difference. That's the distinction between people who you refer to as being religious and being unyielding in their beliefs, and people who use religion as a means to try to get a better grip on what might be the truth based on their observations. So we got a minute and some change left. Any guys want to say anything about the environment real quick?
Let's go cut down a tree.
All right, dude. Well, 303, I appreciate you calling in. We're going to roll the outro.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Hopefully you catch us later this week, man. Thanks for calling in.
All right, sounds good.
Later, Jason.